3,000 years ago, we're going back in time a little bit this morning. 3,000 years ago, King David wrote a praise song. We're talking contemporary music before there was traditional music. Now, we don't know exactly what he wrote it for, but we believe it probably had something to do with worship, with the temple or the tabernacle. If it was a tabernacle, you know, maybe they had relocated it, refurbished, or it was a special day, or maybe he was writing it to pass on to his son Solomon when they dedicated the temple in Jerusalem. But he wrote Psalm 30. And the scholars, they have titles for everything, but they call this particular psalm a testimony psalm. It's a personal story, David's personal story of thanksgiving. And so as we read these words, and we're going to read them a couple times this morning, what we find is that these beautiful, beautiful words are probably something like a page out of David's diary. It's a song of thanksgiving. Now, when I listen to these words, what I hear is a heart song. It's David's heart singing through these words. And that's honestly what most of the Psalms are. Somebody had an encounter with God. They had an experience that led to a conversation with God, and they recorded it. And then you and I get to take these words, and we get to use them ourselves, as it were, to express our hearts. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm speechless. I know you probably don't think that's possible, but there are times where I just run out of words. It's never happened up here. But sometimes when I'm praying, sometimes when I'm praising the God above, I just run out of words, and the words of the psalmist step in, and they fill our lack. So I want to read Psalm 30 for you this morning. But I need you to do me a favor. As we think about this, first think that these are words that David wrote. Probably he had a moment where he was thinking back on this amazing journey that he had enjoyed with this God who he knew as friend. And so this morning I want to invite you to listen to the words. I need you to shut off that part of your brain where you're looking for theology. Just click that off. That part where you're looking for some kind of thematic flow, just shut that off. And what I want you to do is allow your heart to fly or float on the waves of David's emotions. Can you do that for me? Good. So, Psalm 30, beginning at verse 1. I will exalt you, Lord, for you lifted me up out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. Lord, my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me. You, Lord, brought me up from the realm of the dead. You spared me from going down to the pit. Sing the praises of the Lord, you, his faithful people. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. And Lord, when you favored me, you made my royal mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, Lord, I called. To the Lord, I cried for mercy. What is gained if I am silenced, if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, Lord, and be merciful to me. Lord, be my help. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord, my God, I will praise you forever. Now I wonder this morning, as we think about what David did with these words, what we might do with our words. Would our words be such that they would inspire others toward God? Toward God. Now this morning, and you know, it's already been said, we're at the beginning of Thanksgiving week, a week that we anticipate for a whole year for different reasons. It's probably one of the biggest gatherings of family. It's one of the weeks where most of us are going to eat more food in any single setting than we do normally, except for Matt. It's also a time where we kind of turn inward a little bit and we think about how we've been blessed. We think about the things that we are truly thankful for. And I know most of us, we think of Thanksgiving and we remember back to the Plymouth Pilgrims as they met with the indigenous people of the area where they were living back in the early 1600s, and they celebrated a thank service for the harvest. And now today we're kind of distant from that, and for many of us, we're thinking family gathering, we're thinking turkey or a ham, we're thinking football games, we're thinking about that afternoon nap, you know, the one you can't avoid because of the mountain of food you ate for lunch, and every blood corpuscle in your body is headed for your stomach to begin digestion, and your brain just shuts down. That's Thanksgiving. It's the best of everything. And being thankful may have had its root in this historic moment, but you and I both know that this holiday has become a commercial thing. Stores have been advertising for weeks about the food that you need, that you can't possibly eat, but you need to have it in your house for the Thanksgiving celebration. And then everybody's thinking about Black Friday, which has been extended for weeks because of COVID. Nothing like taking advantage of a situation. But for a moment, I want to give you an opportunity to be thankful in a loud way. Can you all shout? Okay, so this is what we're going to do. I'm going to set up a scenario, and then I'm going to say now, and I need you to shout the answer to the scenario I'm going to set up. Are you good with that? Yeah, okay. Are you good with that?
Yeah.
Okay, good. And don't be embarrassed to shout, because everybody else is going to be doing it too, okay? Okay, so what I need you to do is think of the name of a person. You don't have to have the whole name, just, you know, enough of the name so that you're actually saying. Think of a person that you're thankful for, and when I say now, you're going to shout that name. Now. Yeah. I got it. I'm going to write them all down. Now I need you to think of a thing that you are thankful for. Think of that thing. Now. Yeah, there you go. Now, what I need you to do is turn to a person. Now, you need to hear this whole thing. And please don't shout. They're right near you, okay? But turn to a person near you and tell them why you are thankful that you know God. God. Doesn't that feel good? To be thankful? Not whining about your mask, not whining about COVID. Doesn't it just do your heart good to voice thankful? David wrote, "I will exalt you, Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and you did not let my enemies gloat over me. Lord, my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. You, Lord, brought me up from the realm of the dead and you spared me from going down to the pit." Now, as we read through the Old Testament story of David, we can recognize that he did not have an easy life. I mean, as a child, he was left out in the fields with sheep, and he was left out there in the heat of the day and the cold of the night, and he even talked about the fact that he went nose to nose with some very scary wild beasts to protect those sheep. He had been a warrior, a mighty warrior against violent enemies in a time where violence was rampant, nation against nation. He had even at one point been threatened by the king that he served. David had suffered 10 lifetimes worth of hardship. And yet, when he thought about God, the words that came from his mouth were words of praise. God had rescued me. God had delivered me. God had lifted me up. God had spared me. What has God done for you? You should tell him that you recognize that. David wrote, "Sing the praises of the Lord, you, his faithful people. Praise his holy name, for his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. David, over his lifetime, he had grown to know and to trust his God, our God, same God. And he longed for others to have that same experience. And so David sang God's praises. He wanted to spread the goodness around. He spoke of God's anger or his correction. He said, it's only momentary. It's needed, but it's just momentary. But his favor, his blessings, they're always available. In our pain, in our suffering, there are moments. I know since March, it seems like such a long time to suffer with COVID. But set it in the context of our lives. Set it in context of eternity. It's just a moment, a blip. But rejoicing in God, rejoicing with God, oh, we get to do that forever. And like David, you and I ought to be singing his praises. Maybe stopping occasionally and counting our blessings and giving God the thanks that he truly deserves. How often do you do that? How often do I do that? Thank God for what he's done, for what he's given. David wrote, verse 6, when I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. And Lord, when you favored me, you made my royal mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. David, in his sin, he knew separation from God. He understood what it was to feel the weight of God's hand. But these moments that he dreaded, they were dwarfed by the good stuff. Sure, being apart from God was torment. And you read some of the other Psalms where David describes his bones, his ache, while he was separated from God. But he also knew the delight of walking with God hand in hand, to walk along God's path, the straight and narrow, the firm and steady ground upon which God paved the right path. Do you thank God? Do you thank God when nothing is wrong? We should. David wrote, verse 8, to you, Lord, I called. To the Lord I cried for mercy. What is gained if I am silenced, if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, Lord, and be merciful to me, Lord. Be my help. You see, David had all those hard moments I mentioned, but in those hard moments, in those moments when he was apart from God, David prayed and he pleaded for mercy and grace, and he longed for life to praise God even longer, for he knew in death he would be silent. And like most men, David lived his own life, his own kind of life, but unlike many men around him, he knew that living, true living, was rooted, firmly rooted in God's mercy and grace. David understood that his life was a gracious gift from God and that he was responsible to inspire others to lean toward God for the same kind of life. Is your life of thanksgiving inviting to others to want the same God in their life that you have? David wrote, you turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord, my God, I will praise you forever. Life has its low moments, loss, pain, suffering, COVID, anything. And you and I know that. We know that is true. David knew that. He could write how-to manuals on these things, how to survive, how to thrive. Now, I'm sure he could have done like some of us do, crying our cornflakes, moaning about life. But David here looked for God in the moments of life, even in the harder moments. Where is God in the midst of this? What is God doing in the midst of this? I sat with some men around a table yesterday talking about an idea. And you know, one of the cool things about the conversation, it wasn't focused on what we couldn't do, It was focused on what we could do, what we might do. And I think this is what David has in mind as he thinks about living a life under the influence of God. Even in those moments where life is difficult, can we be thankful? Can we be thankful for the opportunities that difficult makes possible for us? When did you last see a moment where God showed up and you knew that was God? That was God. Listen one more time to those last two verses. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord my God, I will praise you forever. Singing and dancing, praises of thanksgiving. A while ago, a young girl that I've known since she was wee little kind of stopped me in my tracks with a quote that she shared with me, and I don't know exactly where she got the quote. I went looking for it, and I couldn't find it, but she shared this quote with me, and as I said, it stopped me in my tracks. Let me read this quote for you. If God took away everything you had not thanked him for today, what would you have left? Well, I have to admit that when she asked me that question, I actually looked down to make sure I wasn't naked, because I was pretty sure I hadn't thanked God for the clothes I was wearing. And it was just such a startling question. It made me admit to myself, I was not thankful. Oh, not totally not thankful. But there were all these things in my life that I just took for granted. I had not attached them to God, to a great provider. And so I ask you this morning, my friends, if God took away everything you had not thanked him for today, what would you have left? Did you look down? Did you have to walk to church this morning because your car was gone? Turn to a person near you and tell them one less obvious thing that you're thankful for right now. Good. One less obvious thing that you're thankful for. I was in the hallway earlier. I was talking about one of the things I'm pretty thankful for right now, and it's a seasonal thing. Persimmons are available. How many people eat persimmons? You know the joy of running across the persimmon at the grocery store. They are amazing. The rest of you? Ha, I bought all the ones that were available yesterday. So I'd like to press this point just a bit further as we sit in this amazing, well-equipped worship center among our spiritual family members, enjoying the safety of free worship. Are we thankful? Do we take even this for granted? When was the last time we thanked God for our Bibles? Actually, when was the last time you carried it to church with you, that you might use it while you're here? There are places where Jim would be the book of James, and Lynn would be the book of Ephesians, because they're not allowed to carry their Bibles. So they have them memorized so that when the pastor needs a verse, he turns to the person who is that verse. Are we thankful for the freedoms that we have related to our faith? And be honest with yourself this morning as you think about this idea of having taken away from you what you've not been thankful for. Would you be naked this morning? Would we be sitting in a field this morning because we weren't thankful for our building? You might be seeing what I saw when I first pondered the question, if God took away everything you had not thanked him for today, what would you have left? And maybe it's appropriate for just a brief moment to stop and thank God for the obvious things in our lives. Maybe thank him for the clothes that you have on, the car that kept you from walking, and the building that keeps you warm when it's cold outside. Just take a moment and thank God. Almost every Sunday, I wonder when it will happen. The moment that we hadn't planned for, the moment that we wish didn't happen. A joke that falls flat, you don't laugh, and I'm like, oh. a moment of thorough embarrassment. My fly zipped. We're good. An exploding communion cup. Now, I have to confess that I've exploded more than one communion cup, and even those hard plastic ones, they only bend so far, my friends. And so as you take out your COVID-safe communion kit that I hope you picked up on your way in this morning, I'd like to invite you to be gentle this morning. Open, don't squeeze. And if you do squeeze, do our property manager a giant favor. Hold it over your lap. Oh, there's the laugh I wanted. That's great. Save a pew cushion. I want to remind you this morning as we get ready to partake of the elements that communion is an act of remembrance and it's an act of worship, our hearts laid bare before God. I need to remind you that ours is an open table. That is, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and it doesn't matter where you've learned about Jesus or where you were when you committed your life to Him or what you've done since, but right now, if you know Jesus as your Savior, our table is open to you. Our table is also open in the sense that when you partake, you've actually been able to take care of the known sins in your life. That is, you've confessed them, that you've gotten right with people that you've had a broken relationship with. And I want to remind you that though our table is open, for some of you this morning, if you either don't know Jesus or you have sins that can't be taken care of before you partake, this is probably a good day not to take communion. This is an act of worship. Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, this morning as we pause for a few moments to reflect upon your gift, the gift of life. And we know that that gift of life came by way of the gift of death, not ours, but Christ, your Son, our Savior. And we know as we partake of the bread, as we partake of the cup, we are reminded of exactly what He did for us and why He did it for us and what we get out of that. But this morning, as this is attached to a time of thinking about being thankful, Father, I pray that you would allow your Spirit to draw very close to our spirits, that we might be reminded of our sins, that we would confess those sins, that we would be thankful that that's what we need to do to be released from the penalty attached to those sins. Why? Because of Jesus, because of the cross, because of the empty tomb. I pray that your Spirit would point us in the direction of garbage that's in the closets in our heart, things that we need to confess, anger, harsh words, sinful deeds, dishonesty, not being thankful. Allow us to come clean, that as we partake, it is indeed worship. Help us remember, but help us worship. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.